The Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. They say that Jesus is on the move. I can only imagine the 12 disciples, 12 certain men, sitting in a room together 3 days after Jesus was sentenced to death, tortured, crucified by the greatest killing machine of its time, the Roman Empire. I can only imagine the disciples' certainty that they had reached the end. The tomb hadn't been just sealed with a little bit of caulking or cement. No, it had been sealed by the seal of Rome. That's more than cement. That is certainty. Tampering with that seal was inviting real trouble. The seal of Rome is like the warning on a bathroom in an airplane, on a smoke alarm, right? Do not tamper with the seal of Rome, or you will face the full consequence of Rome. The disciples were certain that the tomb was sealed and that it was over. And I can only imagine the women running back from the tomb, banging on the door with the news that the tomb was open and empty, barging into that room just filled with certainty. "Jesus is dead," the men say. "The tomb is sealed by Rome," they say. "It's done," they say, talking over the women as if it might help kind of convey the seriousness of their certainty. I think we call that mansplaining. But no, the women say, "Jesus is on the move." They're persistent. "He's heading back to Galilee." What an absurd thing to hear when you are absolutely certain of the way things are, the way things have been, the way things will be. What an absurd thing to hear when you're absolutely certain that death gets the final word. But the women keep saying it. "Jesus is on the move. We've seen him." In the years leading up to our present crisis, to our present pandemic crisis, we have heard lots of certainty from a lot of confident people. We heard it said with certainty that the U.S. healthcare system is the best in the world because it gives us choice, that any other system would be foolish, that any other system might cheat people out of something like a choice of healthcare. And yet we've witnessed in horror over the last weeks as movie stars and the supremely wealthy and pro basketball players are tested for a virus within a day, while poor and working class people who serve us at food, serve us our food and process our checks at the bank and give us our groceries, have to wait weeks to be tested. We were certain that free market economics could solve complex problems like getting medical equipment in an emergency, but then came the reports of shortages and bickering and outbidding between states and federal departments. While healthcare workers, frontline nurses and doctors reported shortages in New York City and beyond, asking for help and doing their best and doing a wonderful job, even without necessary protective equipment. We were certain that our social safety nets were enough, that they were capable of handling any crisis, even for the most vulnerable. But then came reports of group homes of developmentally disabled adults, their agencies abandoned by authorities and left without help or instruction or equipment to keep their charges safe. Some of us were even certain, oh, we were just certain that the ghosts of racism were not still haunting us. That is, until we witnessed a disproportionate number of deaths by this disease in Black communities. Of the fact that 14% of Michigan's population is Black, yet Black individuals account for over 40% of that state's deaths. And the numbers in Chicago and Brooklyn and Manhattan are worse. Before COVID-19, we were certain of a lot of things and quite intolerant of those who questioned our certainty. And it's amazing what a little morning light and an earthquake can do to just make all of that certainty vanish. It's amazing how the light, when it shines just right on that unbreakable seal of Rome, can make those absolute certainties absolutely absurd. But they say Jesus is on the move. And on this side of the tomb, he comes to us today with a word of peace. And that word is do not fear. Because he's on the move. He's heading back to Galilee. Jesus is heading back to the blind and the sick and the poor. He's heading back to the crowds of hungry people. He's heading back to the lost, back to the broken places and systems and people. He's even heading back to the very crowds who shouted, "Crucify him." He's heading back to Galilee where we heard the heavens rip open and a word of God speaking, "Beloved, beloved, beloved." He is heading back even to Judas, looking for Judas to wipe away his tears and welcome him home. That is the word and the movement of the risen Christ. They say that Jesus is on the move. God isn't done here. Despair and death and certainty do not get the last word. Not now, not ever. Because Jesus is on the move, and it's time that we, as the people of God, pick up the call and follow him back to Galilee. That means following him back into our old certainties. It means following him back to our commitments to protect the vulnerable, following him back into broken systems with the hope and saving redemption and balm of the resurrection, following Jesus back into the whole world that God loved so much as to defeat death for its sake. Jesus is on the move, and Jesus is calling you. This is not a new movement. This is not a recent trend, a new discovery, or a political whim. This resurrection movement is as old as the story of God's love itself. When the Israelites were stuck in their homes, eating a Passover meal, socially distancing themselves from Pharaoh's people, they were certain that slavery was the final word. But God wasn't done with them. God called them into the life of the resurrection movement, and on the other side of the sea, they danced with tambourines as they were caught up into that movement. In Jeremiah, we heard from our lesson today that the people who survived the sword, a people who had been exiled from their land, certain that they would die in a strange place, this very people found grace in the wilderness. And that's us. We will find grace in the wilderness of COVID-19. We will find joy and dancing on the other side of this sea because Jesus is on the move. And the movement of Jesus is far more powerful than certainty. It is far more powerful than the seal of Rome. It's far more powerful than those who say that nothing can change or nothing will change. It's more powerful than despair, more powerful than hopelessness, and certainly more powerful than death. They say that Jesus is on the move. Come and join. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen and amen and amen.